hát voltam már hátorán.
Bom
Manufactured by fruit of action. Prajanasam. Annihilation of living entities. Pranasyasi. You shall carry out without any hindrance. Translation as well as a product of fruitive activities, therefore you may imperceptibly attack people in general. Help of my soldiers, you can kill them without opposition. Wherefore the word karma vinirmita means manufactured by fruitive activities. This entire material world, especially in these days, is a result of fruitive activities. Everyone is fully engaged in decorating the world with highways, motor cars, electricity, skyscrapers, industries, businesses, etc. All this appears very nice for those who are simply engaged in sense gratification, who are ignorant of spiritual identity. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Nunam Pramata Kurte Vikarama Yat Indriya Pritaya Apranoti Sadhumane Yatta Atmano Yama Sana Viklesha Daha Sadeva. Those without knowledge of the spirit, soul, or man, after materialistic activities, from all kinds of sinful activities, simply for sense gratification. According to Rishabhadeva, such activities are inauspicious because they force one to accept an abominable body in the next life. Everyone can experience that although we try to keep the body in a comfortable position without giving pain or subjecting to people miseries. Otherwise, why are there so many hospitals, welfare boards, and insurance establishments? Actually, in this material world, there is no happiness. People are simply engaged in trying to counteract unhappiness. Foolish people accept unhappiness as happiness, therefore the king of the Yavanas decided to attack such foolish people imperceptibly by old age, disease, and ultimately death. Of course, after death there must be birth, therefore Yavanaraj thought it wise to kill all the karmas through the agency of Kala Kanya, and thus try to make them aware that materialistic civilization is not actually advancement. Every living entity is a spiritual being, and consequently, without spiritual advancement, the human form of life is ruined. Text 30, King Devas continues, here is my brother, Prajwara. I now accept you as my sister. I shall employ both of you, as well as my meager soldiers, to act imperceptibly within this world. Galatonia was sent by Narada Muni to Yavanaraj so that she might become his wife, and instead of accepting her as his wife, Yavanaraj accepted her as his sister. Those who do not follow the Vedic principles are unrestricted as far as sex life is concerned. Consequently, sometimes do not hesitate to have sex with their sisters. In this age of Kali, there are many instances of such incest. Although Yavanaraj accepted the request of Narada Muni to show respect to him, he was nonetheless thinking of illicit sex. This was due to his being the king of the Yavanas and Lakshas. The word Prajwara is very significant, for it means a fever sent by the Lord Vishnu. Such a fever is always set at 107 degrees, the temperature at which man dies. Thus the king of the Lakshas and Yavanas requested the daughter time, Kalakanya, to become his sister. There was no need to ask her to become his wife, for the Yavanas and Lakshas do not make distinctions as far as sex life is concerned. Thus, one may outwardly be a sister, mother, daughter, so have sex. Yavanaraj's brother was Prajwara, and Kalakanya was invalidity itself. Combined and strengthened by the soldiers of Yavanaraj, namely non-hygienic conditions, illicit sex, and ultimately a high degree of temperature, to bring on death, they would be able to smash the materialistic way of life. In this connection, it's significant that Narada was immune to the fact of jara, or invalidity, and similarly, jara, or a destructive force, cannot attack any follower of Narada Muni or a pure Vaishnava. Thus, in the Bhagavatam purports of fourth canto, 27th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, attacked by Chandavega on the city of Kimparanjana, the character of Kalapanya. Translation, this world is a product of fruitive activities, therefore you may unrestricedly attack people in general, helped by my soldiers, you can attack them without opposition. The king of the others continue, here is my brother Ajwara, I now accept you as my sister, I shall apply both of you as well as my dangerous soldiers to act imperceptibly within this material world. In this way we see that there is a plan for the destruction of the living entities in this material, that is, their bodies. Paranjana was sitting in his city, which was his body, and then he was attacked by the king of the Yavanas, chief of the Gandharvas, and the, here was the Kalakanya, old age. And prajara, or high fever. So this means that by the arrangement of the Lord, the body will be subject to these problems of old age, disease, and ultimately death. So no one can be completely happy in the material body. So in the same way, Pranjana could not be happy in the city, because ultimately these attacks would take place. So they do not all take place at once. You can get sickness and accidents and so many problems due to karma throughout your life. But still, though the living entities got these experiences throughout life of difficulties, in general, the living entity will think somehow or other it's still very nice. That's what they want to continue. So in this way they continue and continue. So we see in the case of Ajamil, he was had to struggle and kill people and steal and do all sorts of things to maintain his so-called existence. So he thought he was happy at the same time. He was also suffering in that condition. But because of the idea that I'm happy, he didn't realize that time was passing and he was getting old. And then finally he was dying. So death, suddenly he found he was dying. And it was a big surprise to him. So though the let's say the hints are given throughout life that the body is temporary and it's going to end sooner or later, people don't think about it because of the idea of happiness that they're getting. And so they become deluded by that happiness of the material body, and therefore they forget that ultimately they will have to give up that body and die. So this is, of course, a problem caused by foolishness or ignorance. If we are intelligent, we can see the facts and we can try to do something about it. But usually intelligence is overcome by our ideas of pleasure. And then intelligence disappears. We forget again. This is the situation of people in the material world in general. That is why Yudhisthira replied to the Yaksha when the Yaksha said, "What is the most surprising thing in the world?" Then the Yaksha said, "The most surprising thing is that people, everyone dies. Everyone knows that everyone dies, and we've seen, everybody sees everybody else dying in the material world. The surprising thing is that each person thinks, I'm not going to die. Even though we see everybody else die, you know, think, I'm not going to die," which is illogical. But why do we do this? Because we get enamored with our existence and our happiness in that existence in the material world. So it doesn't occur to us that the same thing is going to happen to us. We are enamored by the pleasure of the moment, and we don't understand that sooner or later everything will be finished. So this is very common in the material world. We see it's the case of Pranjana also. Okay? He was very surprised when finally his time was up and the city got attacked, and then old age came and then death came. So the situation is such that even if old age comes, still people do not think they're going to die. Okay? That is the situation of illusion in the material world. But these type of things are arranged by the Supreme Lord to give one a hint and make one become intelligent. So as I said the other day, the Lord makes this arrangement of an impermanent material world to show the living entity that he's not the body. But it takes a long time for the living entity to realize this. So most of the living entities are in ignorance. If they get good fortune and they can rise up, become more intelligent and get to the mode of goodness, very good, then they can begin to understand something. So if the people in the material world have, of course, the mercy of the great devotees of the Lord, then this becomes a great blessing for them and they can advance very quickly. Otherwise, it's a very difficult process. Having your experiences in the material world and trying to figure out what it all means. So, slow process of realizing anything in the material world for the jivas. But at the same time, it is necessary in one sense, because we see that usually a realization does not take place unless one has some very strong experiences, and then we get some conviction from that. So this usually takes a long time and many, many experiences, etc., and then finally get some realization. So that is why the living entity is allowed to go birth after birth after birth and progress very, very slowly and get some realization gradually. So in this way the arrangement is made. Now the good fortune is that the Supreme Lord arranges for scriptures so that at a certain point the jiva can progress quickly by getting knowledge. Now of course the jiva can get knowledge on his own, but it is a little bit more difficult. So theoretically you can come to Sattva Guna and then you can become knowledgeable on your own and understanding not the body. And so we have people like Plato or someone who came to that conclusion, you're not actually the body. Simply by thinking about it a lot and philosophizing and whatever, you got that realization. But it is rare for people. But once the knowledge is there, and you give it to other people, and they say, oh, it becomes very quick. They don't have to meditate for 20 years to find that out. They can understand immediately. So, therefore, the scripture is a fast way of giving the knowledge to living entities. If they're ready for it, then they'll accept it. If they're not ready for it, then they say, how's that? And then they'll ask for some proof, which cannot be given. So therefore, they do have to be at that stage where they're ready to accept that knowledge. Once they have that type of, that stage where they have the faith, then they will accept that as a truth, even though we cannot physically prove it. So that is the use of scripture, the first use of scripture to identify the living entity in bring them out of the conception that you're not the material body. So this is where Gyana Khanda comes in the Vedic literature. It gives that realization. Before that, simply enjoy the material world, go to Svargaloka, this is what you're supposed to do. When you get a realization, this is not very satisfying, then you're ready for Gyana. So that is why Shankaracharya said in his introduction commentary on the first verse of Brahma Sutra, Tato Brahma Jigasa. Now it is time to inquire about Brahman. It is now, after having gone through all the karmakanda and experienced all and finally becoming frustrated with it, now you are ready for Jnana. So after experiencing for many lifetimes the pleasures of the material world, then you can advance towards jnana and understand that artha, dharma, and kama are not the goal, but moksha is the goal. So that is, jnana kind of supplies this. So in that sense, jnana is not to be condemned. It is one step in spiritual advancement. If we take it as the final goal, then of course it becomes condemned. It is only one step. So we should first understand we're not the material body, we're Atma. Then we have to understand that we are the servant of the Supreme Lord. So if we don't put that second step there, then it is incomplete knowledge. So we cannot condemn jnana itself, but we have to understand it is one portion of knowledge only. It is not complete in itself. Okay? So therefore we also have worship of the Supreme Lord as the other fact that has to be given to the jiva. So all of this is presented in the scripture, and when people are ready for it, then they can accept it. Therefore we have this system of advancing towards bhakti eventually. Now the mercy of the Lord is such that even if you don't realize your Atma or whatever, you don't get to the position of jnana and sattva one, still you can take to the process of bhakti. But that requires faith. Now where does faith come from? It does not come from sattva guna or jnana or karma and rajaguna, whatever. It doesn't come from that way. Because those things are material. It's spiritual. So in one sense, it's more difficult. Yes, everybody's made of the gunas, so eventually, theoretically, you could make sattva guna dominant and get jnana. But they're near guna. How are you going to get that? Nobody's near guna. So how are we going to get it? So it looks like it's more difficult to get bhakti, even though we say it's open for everybody. So the process of bhakti is also such that how does it start? We get faith. How do you get faith? That may develop gradually through agyata sukritis. So that is one opportunity for the jiva who is in tamaguna or any guna to advance simply by agyata sukriti, unconscious activities, like Ajanil chanted the name Narayana accidentally. And then by that, eventually became a devotee. So this is one process by which the jiva can, and any guna can gradually advance into bhakti without going through gunas or whatever. That is agyata sukriti. And where do the agyata sukritis come from? Somewhere there must be a connection with some devotee somewhere in order to arrange for that agyata sukriti or whatever. So usually it is the mercy of devotees, sometimes directly the mercy of the Lord, by which the jivas eventually, through agyata sukriti, get to the position of faith, and then they can begin devotional service. So a person may be in tamaguna due to previous actions of karma or whatever, and previous lifetime, but at the same time, though he's very covered over, he may have accidentally done some activities of bhakti so that he gets faith, even in that tamaguna existence. So the two things, karmas and your bhakti, are not necessarily one result of the other. We can't say that because your karmas are good, then you get bhakti, whatever, or you get agyata sukriti. It's not related. The agyata sukriti is related to mercy of devotees, which could be in any guna. And a person then going on. So even a person isn't tamaguna, somehow or other, if he happens to do some activities of bhakti unconsciously, then he can develop that faith. And then he's qualified to begin the process of bhakti. So, therefore, the process of bhakti doesn't really require that you go through the whole procedure of tamaguna, rajaguna, sattvaguna, and then bhakti. One could start at any point. Once the faith is there, then again it requires mercy of devotees. So once the faith is there, then we have to get some knowledge, and the knowledge comes through scripture through the devotees. And then one can develop and actually practice devotional service. So that is the procedure. So in spite of all of these obstacles in life, the
miseries of the material body, old age and fever and death, and getting another body again. If the jiva gets those, happens to develop that faith and bhakti, then he can actually surpass this material body and get out of the position of getting birth and death again and again. Otherwise, if he doesn't get bhakti, then he can come to jnana. And ultimately, if he has a little bhakti also, but that mainly does jnana, then he can get liberation. But he doesn't get the spiritual world. So the two options are open for the jiva: get the liberation, or get to the spiritual world and brahman. So those are the options for ending existence in the material world and this whole process of getting attacked by time and jara and prajna. Well, I don't know, that's an English word. I don't know if it's not even in Sanskrit. They're just all called shishyas, so I don't know if they have a distinction like that. I don't know where it comes from. We have Godfather also. But I think it's only a context in which it's used, so it doesn't have any, in Sanskrit, there's no equivalent. So. Yeah, well, that's just, I say, it's just a matter of the word as it came out, but it's an English word, it's not even a Sanskrit word. If you say guru bhai, then what do you call a guru? What do you call a sister? What do you call a woman? A guru bhai? Now, what do you call a god sister? You never hear that, though. I've heard that. Yeah. Okay. I haven't seen it in Sanskrit. Well, I think it happens previously also. It's not just in Kali Yuga, but it becomes a little more prevalent in Kali Yuga.
How these impressions are carried, because we see that the memory is not carried forward. One individual cannot remember what happened in the past. Mm. But we still see that we're talking about accumulating experience over a number of births and then one comes to the past.
Yeah, so you don't remember particular incidents. But the experience you gain and the lesson you learn remains with you. So if you understand in one lifetime that stealing is bad, that will continue in your next lifetime. You stole something, you went to prison, then you got out and realized I'm not going to steal again. So that will continue next lifetime. You won't want to steal anymore in the next lifetime. But you won't remember, oh, I stole that in the next lifetime, and therefore I went to prison now. You won't realize that. Because in order to, if one is to remember all one's previous lifetimes, that would mean you have to realize like 20 billion lifetimes in the past, and then you wouldn't have an identity in this lifetime because you're caught up in all your previous identities. Just like in a dream, you go into another identity, so all day long you would be thinking of all your previous lifetimes and you wouldn't be able to live this lifetime. So that's why it's all cut up. It's cut out. Concentrate on this lifetime, but you have the experience of the previous lifetimes. The lessons learned are there for you.
And the Brahmins are not supposed to go to spiritual world. What happens to the yogis who are meditating on Paramatma future?
Well, they can merge into Paramatma if they so desire, or the effulgence of Paramatma.
And they also don't go to spiritual world?
No, not directly, unless they take the devotional service.
Okay,
Well, we can say it's the same thing. To have an actual experience as a revelation of sorts, because that becomes a fixed, a fixed value for us once it's there.
Well, There are fundamental stories in Bhagavad.
There are no stories.
Regarding stories.
Allegorical stories, yeah.
Also in Bhagavad Mahatmya. What's that difference?
Bhagavad Mahatmya. That's not allegorical, is it? Those are historical stories, apparently. Yeah. Allegorical means that it didn't actually ever take place, and the characters simply symbolize something else. So Paranjana means the jiva. So Paranjana didn't live at a certain time in the past. So it's not, in that sense, not a historical incident.
Kabir,
so
those
who
wants life, surely the mercy of the devotees plays a significant role for one's advancement. It's only the mercy of the devotees throughout one's career. It's only the mercy of the devotees throughout one's career. Sanyasa Siddhi, there are also three devotees throughout one's spiritual progress.
Yes.
But obviously, the mercy of the devotees plays one's spiritual career.
Well, mercy is there, but the effort of the devotee is also there. You must have to make effort. In other words, you can get mercy, but if you don't do anything with it, then what's the use?
Whatever somebody is saying, it plays remote place, it doesn't get any chance to make you.
Well, it will depend on the situation. If he has no telephone, and he has no books, and he has no communication of any sort, then it is very difficult, obviously. But even then, maybe the mercy of Krishna will come directly, if he has a great desire.
You say that the Atma and the Paramatma lives in the body. Paramatma is enjoying through the Atma.
Enjoying what?
The material world, or whatever it is.
No. He doesn't enjoy anything in the material world. It's useless. The only enjoyment of the material world is that we think that an object is nice because of certain reactions that happen in the brain. That's all. And then we identify with that body and that brain. And then we think this is pleasure and this is pain. But actually, matter and spirit don't get along together at all.
So you find for someone that may be pleasure, but say another person may think.
Yeah. That is experience. People have different experiences and that impression keeps them.
Thing.
Well, in one sense, no. But then there are the common things with standards. Okay. So for some people, eating meat is nice. Some people eating meat is not nice. So it's a standard, a different type of standard based on different sets of values. And of course, then we have the scripture which tells us this is good to eat, that's bad to eat, etc. Those things are also there. So it's a matter of the individual, what he wants to choose. And certain things will give him pleasure and certain things won't give him pleasure. But if one goes to the gunas, those things will change also. So the pleasure in tamaguna would be different from the pleasure in sattvaguna. So the idea of karmakanda is to raise you up to sattvaguna so that your tastes will be sattvagunish, and this will lead to detachment from the material world. And then you're ready for jnana.
Sometimes
if
you go to service, devotees, some may like particular service and some may not like other service. The service is like everything that is different, but how does that matter become?
Well, in the spiritual world also. Certain people are in different rasas. Different preferences, that's the nature of the jiva.
How
can in this regard there is sometimes the emphasis laid on that, you know, one need not be so preferential. You should be open and, you know, some service to whom you should do, rather than just go stuck on board for the service.
Well, that's also there in the material world as far as better doing service than no service. So whatever service you get is good. Yeah? Because everything else is Maya. So whatever service you get is a good opportunity. Well, you don't have to. If you take the process of bhakti, you surpass sattva-guna. You go beyond the gunas. Bhakti is nirguna.
Yeah. 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 আমি যে মালাটা পরালাম ওটা আমাদের লাগবে।
Okay.